This morning, I need more help from the sixth and fifth graders, please. I have some more little note cards. Come and help me, please. Sixth graders, fifth graders. There's no children this morning. We might have to go with fourth graders, too. Sixth grade, fifth grade, fourth grade. If you grab a packet of little cards, and you'd go all the way around to pass these out. Do you want to start right up front here? Grab a packet of cards and pass these out all over the church, even those folks way in the back. Are you in a different county back there? We continue our stewardship renovation, renewal in our cathedral parish, Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we begin this holy season preparing for the Lord's coming this Advent. In Luke's gospel, we hear, beware, be vigilant at all times. Your redemption is at hand. St. Paul also, in the second reading, speaks of receiving teachings and examples that we should put into practice in our lives. We're in the midst of our stewardship renewal. How do we put the teachings into practice in our lives of stewardship? The grateful response of a Christian disciple who recognizes and receives God's gifts and shares these gifts in love of God and neighbor. We've discussed many aspects of stewardship already. The stewardship of the four pillars: hospitality, saying, I love you. Formation, saying, I love our Catholic faith. Service, saying, I love our neighbor. And prayer, saying, I love God. Another aspect of stewardship is using our time for the Lord's blessing, using our ability to share with one another because we love. Today, I'd like to speak about the other aspect of stewardship, the aspect of the stewardship of alms, stewardship of almsgiving. The word alms, raise your hand if you haven't gotten one. How about this section right here? We need some help right in this section, please. Grab a packet. Who else? Raise your hand if you're missing. The choir! Don't forget the choir! And how about the holy servers? Don't forget the holy servers. Father has one? Okay. The word alms is very scriptural. Other words related to this concept of almsgiving: tithe, treasure, wealth, money, financial donations, monetary donations, temporal goods, which includes many things, stocks and bonds, life insurance, bequests, real property, land or water rights, mineral rights, wind generator rights, on and on and on. These last category of almsgiving is often looked at in development and planned giving. At times, we are nervous, uncomfortable, even resentful at the mission of almsgiving or money in church. I think I overheard someone say, Martha, wait till he turns his back, then we'll make a run for the door. Is that what you're thinking? Yet, Jesus spoke of almsgiving often in the Gospels. Why would I, as a preacher of the gospel, why would Father Ted, Father Matthias, any deacon or bishop or priest omit an important teaching of Jesus himself? Let's look at those teachings in sacred scripture. First, you recognize this. When you give alms, those people have received their reward. Do not let your left hand know what your right is doing. Your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Anybody recognize that gospel message every year on Ash Wednesday? That's right. Ash Wednesday, every year, Jesus teaches us about almsgiving. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus speaks about living our faith on the inside as well as the outside in Luke. But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you. It's getting us from the inside out when we give alms. Jesus, on the opposite, on greed, from Luke, take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Also chapter in Luke. Jesus speaks about preparing for the kingdom of heaven. Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourself that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. Just a couple of weeks ago, the widow's mite, also St. Mark, a poor widow also came and put in two small coins. This poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, for they have all contributed from their surplus wealth. But she, from her poverty, has contributed all she has, her whole livelihood. That is generosity. That is sacrifice. That is what we are called to be. This is one reason I'll be using the word alms and tithe instead of treasure or wealth. Do you have any buried treasure anywhere? Maybe Bishop John's not talking to you. Are you wealthy? Maybe. Ah, wealthy with family. Good answer. Wealthy? I guess I'm not wealthy monetarily. Bishop John must not be talking to me. Wait a minute. Almsgiving applies to the poor widow who generously and sacrificially gave. I'll be using almsgiving, tithing. A couple more. Jesus, looking at the rich young man, loved him and said, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. St. Mark. And finally, the Heavenly Father teaches us, well, just how much do we give in our almsgiving? How much? Aha, a tithe. From Genesis, "Of everything you give me, I will faithfully return a tenth part to you." A tenth part to you. A tenth part to the Lord, 10%, may seem like a lot. Yet, don't we give 10, 20, 30 plus percent to our government for the services it provides us? Now, don't misinterpret me. I'm not talking that our tithe, our alms, is a tax. This is not a business or bookkeeping, not a financial or accounting issue. This is spiritual. This is spiritual. This is our relationship with Jesus. Let's follow it. Okay, I think we need a demonstration. Holy servers, would you bring the chairs over here, please? And we'll see if we can drop something or not. I'll take this one. Thank you. Come on over. That one goes right here. And I'll need how many volunteers? I'll need 7 volunteers. 7 children. Come on up. That one's right here. And that one's on the end. 7 children. 7. I need 7. Come on up. Come on up. Who's brave? You've been up already. Okay. Let's see. Do you want to be the payroll clerk? You can stand behind this chair. I need 7 children. Do you want to be Jesus? You stand behind this chair. Hang on. You're Jesus. Hang on to this. You're the good shepherd. Maybe Jesus. You are the high priest. Maybe Jesus wants you to be a priest someday. We'll see that. Okay, let's see. We need the government. You're the tallest, so you must be the government. And let's see. We need stuff. You stand behind stuff. Stand behind there. Okay, and you all have a seat right down here. Are we ready? Oops, we need something for the payroll clerk to pay. How can that be? Okay, payroll clerk, here you go. Now, let's say we have some good workers here. Who's a good worker? Okay, come and get paid. Did you work? Payroll clerk, take money out of here. Take money out of here. And he gets paid. How much does he get paid? He worked pretty hard. He gets paid $100. Oh my goodness, you are a hard worker. Pay $100. Now, what are you going to do with that $100? Run away with it? Ah, come. Before you even see that, what's going to happen? The government. come. You're going to give the government probably about 30%. That sounds about right, doesn't it? The whole thing. Nope. 30%. 30% to the government. Okay. Come. How about to Jesus and his Catholic Church? He is asking for 10%. $100, 10% would be a $10 bill. $10 bill to Jesus and his Catholic Church, another $10 bill. You aren't very good at money matters. That's probably not. That's okay. $10. Okay. And let's see. Stuff. Housing, groceries, transportation, clothes, savings. Probably about the rest of it. Don't forget savings. Rest of it over here. Rest of it over here. Okay, very good. Now, we have another. Who else is a hard worker? You're a hard worker. Okay. How about this one? Did you work a long time really hard? $1,000 is your paycheck. $1,000. Have you ever held $1,000 in your hand before? Okay, how much to the government? Probably 30%, probably more. That would be 300. You're good at math. Jesus is only asking for 10%. You calculated that quickly. 10%, $100. And don't forget savings and all the other stuff. Probably the whole thing, especially if your spouse is involved. There it goes. Okay, do I have one more worker? One more worker. Come. You didn't work very long, did you? Maybe $10. Maybe 20% to the government if you're in that tax bracket. $2. $2 to the government. Jesus is asking for a sacrificial offering, an alms of 10%, $1. And all the other stuff, don't forget savings, the rest. Okay. To generously, sacrificially give of the Lord, of his teaching, of an alms, of a tithe, of 10%, generously, sacrificially. Okay. Thank you, children. And then the bishop picks up the rest. You can go back. Thank you. Thank you. You can go back. Now, we have a little mix-up on this story. A little mix-up. I said the government usually gets its amount first because we don't even see it. But who really comes first in our lives? Ah, Jesus and his Catholic Church and other charities. For example, what kind of charities are we talking about? Well, first, I always recommend to families to prayerfully consider this call of the stewardship of almsgiving, the stewardship of tithing. generously, faithfully, sacrificially. Sometimes 10%, even though this nice little demonstration seems out of reach today, if that's the case, faithfully, prayerfully decide on an amount and stick with that faithfully every week. And then next year, raise that by 1% of your income. The year after that, raise 1% of your income. Trust. Be not afraid. Jesus is with you. We need not limit ourselves to 10%. Maybe the Lord is going to call you to be even more generous and be above 10%. The Lord welcomes your generosity. He won't be outdone in generosity, will he? At times, we have a financial crisis. Maybe unemployment. Maybe a medical situation. Maybe a major car breakdown. Our loving Lord understands when we cannot reach our goal for almsgiving. Our loving Lord understands. Where do we give our alms? To Jesus' Catholic Church, the parish and the diocese. Maybe specific entities within the church. For example, Catholic Social Services, our Catholic Charities, the Decant Foundation, our Seminarian Fund. Many of you have given generously to our Seminarian Fund recently. How about to the poor? Catholic Relief Services, who help around the world. Christian Foundation for Children and Aging. Some of you have adopted a child or an elderly person. Other charitable groups we give to. Groups helping the sick, helping the unemployed, helping the poor, helping the illiterate. We've been discussing ordinary stewardship of almsgiving in the collection basket every Sunday. There's also extraordinary almsgiving that goes above and beyond. For example, this magnificent cathedral is above and beyond a building project. Thank you so much for your generosity. This magnificent worship space, House of God, paid for in less than 10 years. I tell my brother bishops across the country, they're shocked that we did that. That's generosity. That's sacrifice. Thank you. Maybe a special appeal to a natural disaster, helping the folks in the Katrina hurricane, the Sandy hurricane, maybe the Haiti earthquake. There's times we go above and beyond in our generosity. Maybe putting the Catholic Church in your will. How about our children? Are we teaching our children about this almsgiving? See how generous the little ones are? I'll give you the whole thing. Are we teaching our children about this? At times, this teaching of the Lord gives us great conviction to follow in our almsgiving and our tithing. At times, this teaching gives us confusion, tension, anxiety. At times, it brings great anger. Bring these emotions to the Lord in your prayer. Ask Jesus to reveal to you and to heal what's hurting inside when this comes up. And why? Why do we give alms? Why do we tithe? We tithe because we are grateful to God. We tithe because we are Christian disciples. We tithe because we recognize and receive so many gifts from the Lord. We tithe because we want to and are called to share. We tithe because we love. We love God. We love neighbor. We love ourselves. We give alms as we share and live the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity and sacrifice, your faithfulness. The Lord blesses us so much. He loves us more than we can ask or imagine.